whenever two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. So we appreciate that, Lord. And tonight, Father, as Kwani comes to share, as Heather comes to share, as we see this video, Lord, that you would thrill and warm our hearts, Lord. We just want to be closer to you and knowing what you're doing in Ghana and around the world, Lord. So we thank you so much, Lord. We give you this time together now on the mission field and in your word. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to have Heather come up and introduce a video and talk.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having us tonight. My name is Heather Riley, and I'm a missionary with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but your church has been involved with the division of Wycliffe that I serve with called the Seed Company. And you have been sponsoring a people group receiving the scriptures for the very first time in history. And that project is just near completion. And we wanted to come tonight and just say thank you and bless you and build you up and encourage you about what God's doing around the world through Bible translation and getting his word out. I just want to give you a quick history of Wycliffe in case you're not familiar with it. It started about 70 years ago by a gentleman of the name of Cameron Townsend, and he began living amongst a people group and learning their language and then developing a written language for them and then translating the scriptures. And that was the tradition of Wycliffe up until the 90s. They would send out Westerners abroad and living amongst remote people groups to learn their language and bring the scriptures alive for them. And that process would normally take about 15, 20 years. Sometimes couples would go and spend an entire lifetime amongst one people group just to see them get God's word. Worth every penny, worth every moment, life invested. But in the 90s, we looked at the numbers and we realized that it was still going to take another 150 years for every language that was remaining to still have translation work just begun. And as God started to move in the hearts of our leadership, he was also raising up national, local men and women to come forward at Bible dedications and saying, we're so happy for these people, but what about us? Can you come and help us? And God brought about the Seed Company, and it was a vision to say, let's empower local men and women. Let's transfer the capacity to them. Let's train them, engage them, equip them, and enable them to do the work. And this has been a radical revolution in Bible translation. We're seeing God move in awesome ways, and we are now able to do this work in 7 to 10 years and for a much lesser cost. And they're doing high quality work. God has raised up some incredible men and women. And tonight we have with us one of our African colleagues, Kwame Nkrumah. He comes to us with a degree in linguistics. He's a seasoned field translator. He's worked on two New Testaments, completed those. And he currently serves as the associate director of our sister ministry in Ghana called Gilbert. And he oversees the work of 30 current translation projects that are going on. Kwame will come up and share a minute with you. Okay? Bless you.
Well, it's a very exciting privilege for me to be here to share with us what the Lord is doing in our part of the globe. First of all, I want to thank you so much for your involvement in Ghana. And my prayer is that during the dedication, it's a big celebration, and that the church will be represented so that you join them in the excitement of receiving God's word for the first time in their lives. It is a great occasion that I would like for you to think seriously, at least to send somebody to witness it. I hear you are studying the book of Psalms, and I want to just say something short about that before I share my testimony. The book of Psalms is Scholars describe it as a collection of religious songs, and the Hebrew title for it is praise. Right? Praise. Now, according to scholars, there are five major functions of the Psalms. It is either petitioning God, like in Psalm 54, either or giving thanks to God, like in Psalm 30, or giving praise to God, like in Psalm 100, or giving instruction, Psalm 78, and then profession of our trust, Psalm 23. Now, the question I ask myself is, if the Psalms are supposed to have these functions, right? We have the opportunity to be able to read these Psalms in our languages. How will those who do not have God's word in their language be able to identify with these functions of the Psalms? That is a critical question that I ask myself. For us, we have the Bibles. You have so many versions, okay? And so you can turn to the Psalms and praise God and worship Him and give Him thanksgiving and, you know. But how about those who do not have it? How will they identify with these functions of the Psalms? That is the challenge for you and I. It is a challenge for the church worldwide. It is not a challenge for any individual. It is a challenge for the church. Now, my favorite psalm is Psalm 23, verse 5. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me Can you complete that for me? In the presence of my enemies." All right. I've chosen this one because it's very significant in African culture. For somebody to prepare your food, you know, the table that he's talking about is food, right? Okay, the theologians will tell us. He says, you prepare a table, that's food. For somebody to prepare your food in the presence of your enemies, it's a big deal. Because it is in food that somebody can put something and poison you. And so for us, if the Bible says that God prepares our food in the presence of our enemies, then we see Him as a great God. He is the only one who will be able to do that. He is the only one who will be able to shut, you know, the plans of the evil one whilst preparing my food. All my enemies gathered around, and then God is preparing my food. The food that I'm going to eat into my stomach, God is preparing it in the presence of my enemies. And for us, this is meaningful to us. And we want to, I remember that when we translated this part of the Psalms to a community, they saw God as a great God because it made sense to them. So even as you study the Psalms, I want you to realize that there are 2,200 language groups still waiting who do not have John 3:16 in their language. 2,200. They are still waiting. And it will take the church to be able to reach them. Now, when I was growing up as a small boy, my father was a high priest in the traditional religion. African traditional religion has to do with animal sacrifice to the ancestral spirits, okay? And so every day in my life, I saw blood because there were so sacrifices sometimes 2-3 times a day in my father's house. And so that's how I grew up. But God had a special interest in me. And I share my testimony for you to realize that God can take anything that is that people think is worthless, that people think will not be good, that people think will have no value. God can take it and make it into something that is valuable. And your involvement does not only produce God's word for the people to change lives, to bring about transformation, it produces people like us who will multiply ourselves. I say this because it was through the work of a missionary in my village that got me into the work of Bible translation. The missionary came to do Bible translation in my village, and I had the opportunity to teach him, you know, my language. And as we shared the scriptures and we did translation together, I was struck. I was challenged. And I said, this is what I must be doing. You don't have to leave America and come and stay here and do this for us. I have to do this for my people. That's what I told the missionary. So after high school, I decided that I wanted to give my life to Bible translation. But he said, wait a minute. You help us better if you went to the university and studied more. But because I was from a poor family, there was no way I could go to the university. University was for the privileged few. But this missionary and his wife supported me into college. For 4 years, they paid for my education, the university education. They paid for it. My parents did not pay a single, you know, what do you call it? Penny. Is it pence? You call it pence here. Penny, right? All right. I get confused when some people say pence, we use different things. And so a penny, they didn't pay a single penny. Now, after the university, then I said, now I am ready to go. And so that was when the seed company and the organization that we work for started to recruit, you know, nationals to do Bible translation. So as soon as I heard that they were looking for people to do Bible translation, I just went forth. I said, Lord, here I come. Take me. And then I was trained, and then I was sent to a different language group, not my own language, in the middle of nowhere. Okay? You call it the country. But your country, you have gas stations and, you know, all kinds of things, okay? Food exits and things like that. We don't have that. In the middle of nowhere. You know, we used to joke to say that it is not the end of the world, but you could see the end of the world from that village. Now, when we went into this village, there was no church. We couldn't identify any Christian. And then we started Bible translation. And as we do Bible translation, we share our faith. You know, part of the process is that you go to the community and read the translation that you have made to the people to find out whether they even understand what you are communicating, what you are trying to communicate. And as a result of that, one-on-one basis, people begin to come to Christ. Muslims begin to turn to Christ. Traditional people begin to turn to Christ. And as I speak, by the time we finish the New Testament, there has been a church planted in every one of the 12 villages in that community. And today there is a vibrant church in that community. And on Sunday after the dedication, the pastor took the Bible and said, Jesus is no longer a stranger. Jesus is no longer a stranger. He is one of us because he speaks our language. So when you are supporting the programs, the projects out there, what you are saying is that you are making Jesus known to the people so that they will not consider him a stranger anymore. So your participation in the Voter Multiple Project of four languages that are going to get the New Testament within a very short time, you are saying that Jesus is no longer a stranger. And they say that darkness has been dispelled. Now they have seen the light. So you are bringing light to these people. And that is exactly what you do by getting involved in the translation of the New Testament. Now, when my wife and I finish this one, she's smarter than me, of course, so she's now training at a consultant. She's gone to Jerusalem to do Hebrew. She knows Greek, and so she's a very smart woman. Unfortunately, she's not able to be here this time. We finished the New Testament in that language, and then the missionary who was training me to do the translation in my village, unfortunately, the Lord called him home. Now, because he had trained me, I was able to go back to my own people and translate the New Testament into our language. Who would have ever thought that that little boy who was being trained would be the one to come and complete the New Testament that the missionary had started? That's why I'm saying that God can take anything and make it into something that is worthwhile. And I am an example of that. By this time, I would have been following my father's, ancestral spirits. But God had mercy on me and intervened in my life. Now, I'm going to read a portion of scripture from my own language as I bring my message to a close. But then before I do that, the emphasis now is for the seed company and partners around to train consultants. Because as we start projects, we need the consultants to be able to check the accuracy of the translations so that we avoid the errors. And our desire is that we will not only remain in Ghana, but then spread out to the rest of Africa where our help will be needed. But I want to say that in Ghana, we have 5 more languages to go. Only five more languages. We have 22 million population, and we have 48 languages. 48 different languages. I'm not talking about dialects. I'm talking about distinct languages with different grammatical, structures. So, whilst you pray, you remember that in Ghana, we still have 5 more to go. Now, let me read something from the New Testament in my language, and I'll pray that if anybody has the gift of tongues, he will give us an interpretation of what I'm going to read. Now listen to this. Na wulunyi walanko no mante onileedi turubale nele otnate dunyi ogbere ntine nwurubale siema. Wala nomo to onamo yakunyi Yesu yana ogbenjo turubale nele otnate nyi. Any interpretation? No. You heard Jesus. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Now, you see, when you read the English Bible to me, to the 2,200 people who are 2,200 language groups who are there, this is the way it sounds to them. The way you have heard it in my language, that is the way the English sounds to them. They cannot make a word out of it. And that is how it sounded to my people until we were able to give them God's word, God's love letter in their language. Beloved, I want to say that the word of God in the language of the people is a powerful tool to bring transformation in their lives, to draw them close to Christ, and to give them a meaningful life and hope in Christ. Thank you very much for your attention and for your time. Questions? maybe a few minutes. If anybody has any question that, you know, he would like to ask. Yes, I see two hands. Yes. Sorry? Oh, what I read? Oh, okay. I have the gift of tongues, so I will interpret it. I read from Romans 10. Yeah, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Yes. Yeah. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Yes.
What is the percent of literacy?
Yeah, Ghana, the illiteracy rate is about 65-70%. All right. So when we go into a community, we develop the language, and then we begin to teach them how to read and write their own language. We do that before we start translating, so that by the time we finish translating, we have readers. So literacy goes along with translation. Yeah. Any more? Not resistance from the traditional African, you know, religion, those who practice the traditional African religion, but resistance from the Muslims. When a Muslim becomes a Christian, he's thrown out of the house. And so the church is now facing the challenge of accepting those people and, you know, making them part of the church family and helping them to get established in life. So that resistance is there among the Muslim. And in Ghana, the northern part of Ghana is mostly Islam, as against the south. Yeah. And we are based, our head office is based in the center of Islam. Yeah, we are in the middle of Islam. Yeah. Somebody was, yeah. You want me to read Romans 9:10 for you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll read it for you. Romans 9:10, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Or 10:9. 10:9. Okay, 10:9. Listen to this. Munadoni akpa njuso no yakubala manyi Yesu yana digbenjo. Nledi nkuno manye urubare juso ile yemana urubare wale nye. Hello? Okay, now in English. Therefore, if you open your mouth in front of people and you say that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, God will save you. Or literally, he will take hold of you, literally. So that's what I read. All right, thank you very much for your time and attention.
Thank you.
Pastor.
So thank you for coming so much.
Thank you for the time.
And Kwame, I want to thank you very much again. Thank you so much for coming. And Heather, God bless you.